Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. The recent Israeli elections are at a standstill, with neither of the two leading parties able to form a coalition government. Winky Madad comes to the broadcast table right here at Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing to explain the present situation. And then we'll discuss several options that could come about in the political arena. The last, of course, and final option would be to go to a third election this year. Winky comes with all the details in just a moment. I want to remind you that my website, prophecytoday.com, and let me say, I would suggest you bookmark my website. Again, that address, prophecytoday.com. We offer many services. The banner over my website says, looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy. In my prophecy bookstore, a number of materials, teaching aids that will assist you in your study of Bible prophecy. May I again suggest that you bookmark my website, prophecytoday.com. Well, last week we talked with Winky Madad. He gave us a preview of the upcoming elections. This last Tuesday, the Israeli body politic went to the polls to vote. It was a record turnout, but it's come to a stalemate once again. And we'll have that opportunity to ask Winky what that means. Why is it a stalemate, much like a repeat of the elections that took place back in April of this year? Winky, do you have any idea what the final count is? I know that they're trying to finish up all the counting so they can start moving ahead. Any idea what the final count is on the top two parties, for example, the Blue and White Party and the Likud?
As far as I remember, we're talking about 33 seats out of the 120 are going to the Blue and White Party. I remind our listeners, the Blue and White is not really a party. It was a block of three different groups that came together basically in order to topple Mr. Netanyahu. There was the Yesh Atid Party, a Telem Party, and two other former commanders-in-chief of the IDF who thought that their heavyweight security persona would be able to persuade the voters. So they slightly increased their lead over the Likud this time around. It's 33 to the Likud 31. But as we have been telling our audiences constantly, I would even say, Jimmy, over the years, Israel has never had one party that gained a complete majority of 61 seats out of the 120 seats in the Knesset. And therefore, one or two parties, at the minimum, have to get together to cross that hurdle of 61. And at the present moment, Jimmy, neither of those two leading parties is able to gather together the necessary 61.
So what then will the procedure be, Winky? How will they come about doing that? Tell us, just explain very briefly, because it's a Bollywick over there to try to understand it. Give us the procedure ahead.
Well, the president of the state, Ruvi Rivlin, on Sunday will begin what's called consultations. He receives each faction that got into the Knesset. If I'm not mistaken, it's something like 8 or 9, and they get about 30 to 40 minutes to tell the president their preference for the member of Knesset who should be charged with the responsibility for trying over either a 2-week or a 4-week period, depending on whether he asks for an extension of time, to come back to the Knesset and say, Speaker of the Knesset, I have at least 61 members of Knesset who will vote for me, and that's called a vote of confidence. Once that happens, we have a government. If that does not happen, I'm going to go back to the holy books and scriptures and find out what we can do, because we're really in a mess.
Yeah, that's the best place to go, I'll guarantee you. Well, as you think about it, you were talking about blue and white with 33, Likud with 31 or 32. I've seen the number 32 as well. So they're not finishing that final count probably until sometime on Sunday when they'll contact the president. But at this point, just at this point right now, who do you think has the best prospect to put together a coalition government right now?
Technically, I want to be fair to everybody, no one. Mr. Netanyahu has immediately rallied around him his natural coalition partners, which are religious Jewish religious parties of various stripes, and blue and white has rallied around the left of center parties. But both of them come up into the 50s and are short. One key is Mr. Avigdor Lieberman, a former, actually, Ukrainian, if I'm not mistaken, but everybody here calls him a Russian, from about 30 years ago that he came on immigration. And he holds, if I'm not mistaken, 9 seats, and he is demanding a national liberal government without the what we call the Haredi or the ultra-Orthodox parties. And in fact, he's also discounting the what we call the national religious parties. In other words, he says, my party, Israel is a home, is the name of his party, blue and white, and Likud. That is very difficult, Jimmy, to do. And the other possible coalition is with the Arab lists, who have gained, I think, about 13 seats. But that's a very delicate thing to depend on the Arab lists for your government. One of the factions in that party is basically anti-Zionist.
That's interesting that the Arab joint list had that many. In fact, they came in third, as it amounts to the number of members of Knesset they would have, and they could have been a major player. But are you saying blue and white nor Likud would invite them to be a part of their government?
They might. Likud, let me say it this way. Likud will not. Blue and white might be forced to, if only sort of to set up a government and see what happens. But that would, I'm going to suggest that would really severely harm their potential re-election whenever that comes up in the next 4 years. The Arab parties that banded together, there were actually 4 different lists that formed the United Front, at least 2 of them are led by people that are very openly identified with the Palestinian National Authority. Ahmed Tibi was an advisor to Yasser Arafat, and another one called Balad actually is very anti-Zionist, and that will not do them very good in the next elections, even if they do set up a government.
Well, even if they were able to form a government with that Arab list of members of Knesset, that would be a bad government because they would have a bad player, the Palestinian people, those who actually want to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. Lieberman, as you said, looks like he's going to be the kingmaker. Do you think he's going to be left out? Let's say they formed a unity government between blue and white and Likud. If you were able to do that, you'd have your simple majority, so you could elect a prime minister. Could they leave Lieberman out of the whole situation?
That could be a possibility. The problem is, Jimmy, is that Likud and his coalition partners, who've already, as I mentioned, banded together as one negotiating bloc, are insisting that Mr. Netanyahu is their candidate for prime minister, which is completely, at the present moment as I'm talking to you, unacceptable to blue and white. They will not either tolerate, if I can use the word, or allow Mr. Netanyahu to be prime minister, even in a rotation agreement, that he would get 2 years, and Benny Gantz would get 2 years, because of the cases, I would even say criminal cases, as we mentioned over the past year or two, of embezzlement and things of that nature, which haven't, of course, yet even gone to court. In other words, they're sort of pressuring Likud, come up with another candidate, and then we can get together.
You know, I can remember back when Shamir and Peres were fighting to be prime minister of Israel. Their election came out very similar to this one, and they did form a unity government. So that has happened. There's precedent for it in the Israeli body politic. But what about it? What are your thoughts? Any chance of a unity government being formed with what you've already told us?
Well, Jimmy, we can even go back even further to 1967. It was Mr. Begin who suggested to Levi Eshkol to set up a national unity government in order to deal with the oncoming war that everybody felt was coming. So we have that first precedent. As you mentioned correctly, there was a second precedent between Shamir and Peres. However, I have to point out to you that that fell apart after Mr. Peres pulled what's known in Hebrew, if I can translate it, approximately, the dirty trick. He tried to cause the government to fall and then form an alternative coalition in order to replace Mr. Shamir, but that fell apart. Actually sullied his reputation, I'm talking about Mr. Peres, for many years afterwards. No one would let him get away with that dirty trick that he played. So it depends on, do you trust a Mr. Netanyahu, do you trust a Mr. Gantz? Now, the funny thing, Jimmy, I'll just throw this in as the last point on this question, there's a rotation agreement technically between Mr. Lapid and Mr. Gantz, who's going to be prime minister if Blue and White had taken a full majority or had gotten their own coalition. So we've got at least two rotation agreements, four different coalition possibilities, and nowhere near the 61 majority required. Or, Jimmy, to be fair, Mr. Netanyahu can try to go for a minority government of less than 61 if he gets the agreement of Lieberman not to vote against him and simply abstain as a protest.
Boy, I told you it was a Bollywick when we started the conversation with Winky Madad. You can understand why I said that. Quick answer, if you will, Winky. Whoever forms the government, if there is a government formed, will the future look okay for the Israeli people and the state of Israel in this next government?
Well, Jim, now you're asking me a question that I might have to mix in a little bit of my political beliefs here. Jimmy, we're at a critical stage. I mean, of course, you've probably heard that in the past. But we've got Iran that has just recently bombed Saudi Arabia or other oil fields. I mean, we're not talking about supporting the Houthis in Yemen or other Hezbollah activities on Israel's northern border. This was an outright act of war against a sovereign country. We have diplomatic issues. We have the American alliance that we have to take care of. At this point, to do without a Mr. Netanyahu somewhere in the neighborhood, I would not personally feel comfortable with that political situation. And therefore, I do say it's critical. We have, of course, dependency on our traditions, our biblical and prophetic beliefs and knowledge. But again, too often in history, if man leaves the good book and God, he's left to his own devices, and we don't know what happens.
Well, we'll have to wait on what the Lord is going to do. He raises up and takes down human governments and uses human governments to set his plan in place. That's an absolute from the Word of God. Winky, thank you so much. I know it's difficult. It's almost like having to be a prophet or a son of the prophet, but we'll wait and see, and I'm sure we'll be able to talk to you and get more information down the road. Thank you, Winky. God bless.
Jimmy, thank you for having me on. Good night to you and our listeners.
A great analysis of the recent Israeli elections and the fact that they are now at a stalemate. What are the options? Winky gave those to us. That final option would be to go back to another, a third election. But I want to remind you of several things as we think through the political situation in Israel. As Winky reported, the results of the Israeli elections are at a standstill, with no party able to form a coalition government. Again, let me remind you that God puts in charge of human governments around this world his choice for leadership. That's found in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. God's political plan for the Jewish state of Israel will indeed come to pass. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. May I again suggest that you bookmark my website, prophecytoday.com. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.